I just came to magnify. I just came to bless you for standing. You may be seated. And it's good to have all my family back. We were able to get the kiddos yesterday from the airport as they flew in from Florida. And now we feel whole again. And life is back to the crazy normal. But we thank you for all those that helped out and pitched in and made things happen in our absence. We have no doubt that it goes without a hitch, and so we thank you for all those who step up and make it possible for us to go away for a bit and just relax and have a great time. We enjoyed ourselves immensely. It was spent a lot of time with family and friends, and we thank you for that. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, why don't you stand, and we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture in the New Testament, Galatians chapter number 4 and Romans chapter number 8. Galatians chapter number 4 and Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to forego kind of the traditional teaching that we do on Sunday morning during our 10 o'clock session, so this might be more of a preaching session, if you will. But this is not based upon any curriculum. This is just based upon what I feel led of God to speak on concerning Fathers and Father's Day. And then we will have a special time in the second session with a special speaker who will not be me, just so you know. And we will have a good time in that session as well. But Galatians chapter number 4, Romans chapter number 8, Galatians 4 verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Everybody say the adoption. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If you go to Romans chapter number 8, three verses of Scripture, 14, 15, and 16 of Romans chapter number 8. Paul tells us in his writing to the church at Rome, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Everybody say adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want you to pay particular attention to verse number 15. Paul tells us we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received. We have not received the spirit of bondage, but we have received the spirit of adoption. And by the spirit of adoption, whereby he says, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for another opportunity to be in your house, to be among your people. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. I ask that you would bless my words, God, that they would touch the heart and the life. Lord, bless the hearts of the hearers, that they would be receptive to your word, that we would leave here with a greater understanding of what it means to have relationship with you. We love you, we praise you, we recognize you as our Father who art in heaven. We love you, we honor you, Jesus, for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There are only three times in all of Scripture where this phrase, Abba, Father, is used. Two of these three we read in our text, and the third is found in Mark chapter 14 when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he looks towards heaven and says, Abba,
Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What is unique about each of these occurrences in the Bible is that the word Abba is used prior to each exclamation of Father. This is, if you will, a greater term of endearment with an emphasis on greater connection and relationship. Maybe the best way to explain this would be to make a comparison that we would have in our English language. In us using the word daddy, a more connected term of endearment, a far and above and beyond the term father. It's deepening connection, almost as if someone is saying, my daddy, my father. In other words, there is something special about this connection. There is something unique about the relationship between the one saying it and the one who he is recognizing. Jesus in the garden said it, Abba, or my daddy, my father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The Bible tells us that with strong crying, he feared. He, as a man, he knew what the prophecy was. He knew what he was about to endure. He knew what he was about to face. He knew the rejection and the abandonment. He knew the pain and the suffering that he was about to endure. And so he, if you will, kind of looks towards heaven and says, my daddy, my father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So the Apostle Paul, in two writings in New Testament there, where we read in Galatians and also in Romans, Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us, has afforded us not just reconciliation with God, but relationship with him. I'm going to say that again. Not just to be reconciled with God, but to have a relationship with God. To have something deeper, something meaningful, something special in a connection. Not just association, but adoption. In other words, we have the Spirit, the Bible says, of adoption through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what that Spirit is. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is that same Spirit which raised up Christ from the dead. It is that same Spirit which is in our heart through God, through what Jesus Christ did for us, by which we cry, Abba, Father. My daddy, my father. However, in our humanity, we often struggle to see and understand the great depth and significance resident within this relationship. One of the reasons why our view of the father-child or father-son relationship is so skewed is because of what we deal with in an earthly sense. Our view of fathers. Now, I understand that there exist realities at opposite ends of the spectrum, if you will. For some, one of the greatest detractors on Father's Day is the unfortunate view or example displayed by some earthly fathers who do not or did not play the role of dad. Let me tell you, there is no more important role in your life, man, if you have children. There is no more important role in all the world than the role you play in relationship to your children as their father. Because the relationship that you have with your wife plays into that relationship that you show to your children. The role of a father is so important. It's so influential. It's so impactful. There are numerous statistics. I won't take the time to share them now. I have a good feeling you'll hear some of them a little bit later. But the statistics show that the importance of the role of a father, this is not in any way, shape, or form to minimize or demean the role of a mother. It is simply to state and understand that just as significant is the role of a father in the life of a child. For many, the word father brings up some hurtful feelings. rejection, abandonment, selfishness, abuse, emotional, physical abuse, addiction, loss, absent. These feelings that they deal with when people talk about fathers on Father's Day that they have to wrestle with, that are the reality of the life that they have lived or the example that have been lived in front of them by their father figure. And even for those on the other end of the spectrum, even for those like myself who lived with a great godly fatherly example, a father who in the relationship played the dad role well and tried to be the very best father he could be. Even in these, the father role is still imperfect. There are ways and things wherein my father was not perfect. And there are ways and things wherein I, as a father, am imperfect. I am not able, though I try and I endeavor and I hope that my children have a wonderful and can look back on their lives when time has gone by, if the Lord tarries, and can look back and with much appreciation and admiration. I was treated this morning to a song my daughter wrote about her father. And I hope that I can continue, and I hope that God continues to lead me in being all that I can be as the example of a father in the eyes of Austin, Kinsley, and Landon. But I realize that I'm still imperfect. I realize there are ways and things that I am not everything I need to be. I'm trying, I'm working on it. But I am imperfect in that role. I cannot be everything that I should be in that role, but I strive. But the reality is this: no earthly man can perfectly play the part of a father. It doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we stop striving. That doesn't mean we make excuse. It simply means we as humans are imperfect. This is why Jesus makes the statement in Matthew 23:9, "And call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father which is in heaven." He said, well, wait a second, Jesus. You even talk about the role of a father. Honor your father and mother. But here you're saying, call no man your father. Let me paraphrase what Jesus is saying unto you. Jesus is saying this: don't think anyone on earth can adequately play the part of a father. Nobody can be perfect in their love. Nobody can be perfect in how they interact with you. Nobody can be perfect in how they protect you and watch over you. There is only one who can play the father role to perfection. And he's in heaven. Look at what Jesus said. Call no man father upon the earth, for there is one your father, for one is your father which is in heaven. And because our view is affected by earthly examples, it is hard for us to comprehend a father that is perfect. Say that again. Because of our earthly examples, it is hard for us many times to comprehend the reality that we have a perfect heavenly father. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, ye have heard it, heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. This is how you exemplify your Father which is in heaven. You love your enemies, you bless them that curse you. You do good to them that do evil unto you. You pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Then you shall be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. To which we reply, perfect? Yeah, right. Not going to happen. I can't be perfect. I don't always love my enemies. I don't always pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me. I would like to think that I could, but I don't always. I'm not perfect. He is. I'm not. He is the absolute example of what it means to be our Father. So not only is our view, because we compare it on ourselves and we look at our own imperfections and we look at our own inabilities to be perfect, and we see the opposite ends of the spectrum. We see the absent father, and we see the father who is a deadbeat dad, and we see all these examples on an earthly sense. And so our sense of the father-child relationship becomes skewed. We don't understand it in its intended perfection. Since our view of the Father is skewed in that sense, so too is how we see ourselves in the relationship. Paul said this, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Even as a whole society, it always amazes me how that people in the world see themselves as free and see people who are living for God as being under bondage. But yet the Bible presents the opposite. The Bible says that those who are a part of the world, it calls the weak and beggarly elements of the world, wherein you desire to be in bondage. The Bible presents being a part of the world as being in bondage, and being in Jesus Christ as being free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, is what the Bible says. But for some reason, many times, even though we have been saved and even though we walk, if you will, in relationship with God, we still see ourselves many times in the servant role or in the slave role or as being in bondage. Listen. Look at the story of the prodigal. The son saw himself as a servant, while the father still saw him as a son. Look at the story. When he comes back to the father and he falls on his face before him, he says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant." What did the father do? He looked down at him and said, "You're right. You wasted all my substance and all your inheritance with riotous living. You went out and you did this and you spent your money and you wasted it. You found yourself in a hog pen and now you want to come back." And did the father do any of those things? The father look at him as anything but a son? Even while he stank of the hog pen, even while he had the dirt, even while he still had all the signs of a former life upon his being, if you will, the father said, "Hey, bring the coat. Bring the finest of apparel and put it upon his shoulders. Hey, don't you want him to go clean up first?" No, you need to understand. I still see him as my son. And even though he comes to me and he's got the stench of the hog waller on him, and even though he looks like he's been out in the world for a while, you need to understand how I still see him. Put upon him the best robe and put the ring upon his hand and put shoes upon his feet. See, the enemy is often trying to convince us, because we make mistakes and we mess up, that we are just servants. But that is not how God sees us. Seeing oneself as anything less than a child of God brings bondage and fear. Stay with me. The Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The Bible tells me there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear. And what we need to come to an understanding is this. Yes, I am imperfect, and yes, I make mistakes, and yes, I have flesh, and yes, I don't always do everything that I should do, but that does not change the way my daddy sees me. I can still, because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I can still, because of the sacrifice that was paid for my salvation, I can still look heavenward and say, Abba, Father, my daddy, my father. If anything should excite us, one of the reasons why we're not clapping right now is because we don't still see it. We still don't see it as we should. This relationship that is offered through Jesus Christ is a relationship of a father and a child, a spirit of adoption. He chose us. He chose how He would do it. He chose how He would pay the sacrifice. He chose us. He selected us. And He is given unto us through Jesus Christ the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So many people look at God as though He's a cruel taskmaster, as though He is this cruel dictator who has all these rules and regulations for our lives. And what we fail to see Him as is the perfect Father, who has things in place for our protection because He knows us better than we know ourselves. As the perfect Father who loves us with an unconditional love, who still sees us as a child even when we make mistakes and we mess up, who sees us through eyes of love. He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And while we often see ourselves as nothing more than a servant, He sees us as sons and daughters. Jesus did not come for you and I to still consider ourselves servants. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The reason why we can read scriptures like, please the Father to bruise Him, to chastise Him. And we think, well, that just seems so odd. It seems so weird. I can't wrap my brain around the reality of a perfect Father who would allow that to happen. Jesus on the cross looked heavenward and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? We struggle to understand the significance. But what we need to really realize is, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of God. The reality is that Jesus suffered so we don't have to. The reality is that Jesus paid the price for our sin because we couldn't. And it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we have reconciliation. But it's not just a reconciliation that He's after. It's relationship. It's not just peace with God. It's relationship with God. It's not just my Father. It's Abba, Father. It's a depth and a connection and an intimacy that He desires with each and every one of us. We need to learn to see ourselves as God sees us. This is why Paul writes Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When I am led, when my thinking is led by the Spirit and not by my flesh, when my thinking is led by the power of God in me and not by my own carnality, guess what? I start seeing myself differently. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When I start allowing the Spirit of God, when I, beloved, do building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost, when you and I start thinking as we should according to the Spirit of God, then we start the recognition that we are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when my thinking is Spirit-led, I stop seeing myself so much as a servant, and I start seeing myself as a son. As a part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, I start seeing myself as different, not in a condescending way, but in a privileged way that I have access through Jesus Christ, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A close relationship for the Holy Ghost helps me see me for who I am. I'm special. I am treasured. I am viewed by God as something so significant. I'm adopted by my Father. My choice. He didn't have to. He chose to. When I start to realize just how special I am to Him, He becomes more than just a father. He becomes Abba, Father. Becomes my daddy. Don't let the enemy keep you from the rightful relationship you have through Jesus Christ. God has chosen you. The power of the Holy Ghost is whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I come into His house or I'm in His presence, whether it's here at church or at home or wherever I am, and I start feeling His presence around me. There's no fear in that. There is an absolute freedom and understanding that He is not just my Father, but He's Abba, Father. Christ in me, the hope of glory, has me crying out to my Abba, Father. The Spirit of adoption. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them who ask? Power of the Holy Ghost is that Spirit of adoption. It recognizes I'm not just reconciled. There's relationship. He's my Father. He's Abba, Father. I cry out unto Him. I don't have to worry about rejection or abandonment. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I don't ever have to worry about being treated wrong. He will always do what's right. He is that perfect of a Father. And the more I interact power of Christ in me, the more I recognize I'm no more a servant but a son. I'm an heir through Christ. And I can look heavenward and cry, Abba, Father, my daddy. The love that you have for me is unconditional. The way you see so far above. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All over this house, can we lift our hands? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
Every time the enemy creeps up on your shoulder and tries to tell you, he won't love you after this. He won't put up with this anymore. It's over. Look back at the enemy and say, oh no, don't talk about my dad like that. I have the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. Altars are open. Why don't you take an opportunity to pray? Strengthen that relationship. Cry out, Abba, Father.